righteousness, our day and trust.
Visiting with us this morning, brother and sister Fisher, Brother Shane Fisher and Sister Emily Fisher from Winona, Mississippi. They have just moved into there, and I've asked him to give a few minutes here, opening time of the sermon tonight, this morning, to mention in the work that they're doing. They're taking the spot of Lewis and Martha Rushmore, who moved down to Florida, in the day-to-day activities there of the work of the Word Evangelism Program. And so, come and tell us a few things about your adjustment to the schedule. He's been a gospel preacher in Memphis, Tennessee, in days gone by for 4 years of time. He and Emily married, and shortly after that time, they got into the missionary work of South Korea with our good friend over that way, and Michael Parson. And they got into this kind of activity by way of that connection for the missionary work in India and around the world. Go ahead.
I'll just give a few minutes of my the time.
Yes.
Basically, what we're doing, like Brother Robert was talking about how he was in South Korea after 4 years of doing mission work there. And unfortunately, due to circumstances, we had to close down that work. But God, we opened the door through His providence to work for this world evangelism. In which what we do is three main things. Number one, we do the radio and TV. They do the radio and TV, the foreign brethren do, over in Sri Lanka and India and other various places where the Lord's Church has been established already, where they try to reach out to the masses. So there's a TV and radio. Then secondly, after they do follow-up work, in which we help with that, in which we produce what's called the Voice of Truth International. I'm sure many of y'all have seen that magazine. We brought a few copies of the volume 98, so please take one. It's free. And then we also produce what's called the Global Harvest, where you can look at this magazine. It talks about all the great works that are going on around the world with the churches of Christ. And it's certainly encouraging to know what's going on in the world. And so we talk about the radio, TV, talk about literature. And then thirdly, this is where Emily and I really will take part in is the education, in which Emily will speak to the ladies and I will speak to the men, in which we will go over to these various countries where the Lord's Church is already established, in which we will help to educate the leaders, so to speak, the elders, preachers, all those who want to just evangelize to their neighbor, help them to spread the gospel to their neighbors. And that's what it's all about, brothers, just planting and watering seed, and God will give the increase. So I just ask you to, number one, pray for our work. Two, please pray that we'll find supporters for our work. We're all in this work, and we're trying to find monthly supporters from congregations or individuals. And we would greatly appreciate it if you can help us with that. Thank you very much, and I appreciate the time.
Yes, sir. Well, the opportunity for us to know various congregations of loved ones that we have here and other states as well is good, and to pass the word along to them there at Winona for that particular work to continue on in regard to that. I know my home congregation now asked me to recommend somebody along the way that I feel comfortable with and feel helpful with and everything, and they like to become a temporary supporter of that individual from time to time as well. And so you may have loved ones over that way in Texas and other places that want to do that sort of thing. And it'd be a good thing to do. Good to have you all visiting with us today. We're in a series of lessons this particular month in regard to the nature of God. And the nature of God's way to love us and care for us, we have formally looked at that last week. Today we're going to look at in regard to God's plan for our lives. God's plan for our lives involves us walking by faith and not by sight, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. In that way, God had prepared a time which we, all through the prophets in the Old Testament, He did things that were evident, that people could see, people could realize was taking place around them because God had empowered them to do what they were doing, wanting them to come up to a day in time when they would see that Jesus, who would come to this earth, would have a faith in the Father of heaven to send him, that though he was sent to the ideal that he would be put to death, he would be raised from the dead. And in Matthew chapter 12, he notes to them that as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth, and he will come forth. His disciples didn't catch that enough. They didn't catch it enough at all. That when he was put to death, they were in fear and left the place and left the area. You read that in Matthew 26 and 27 very vividly. How that they were seeking solace so that they might not be arrested because they were a part of the group with Jesus. And yet they were told these words. And who believed them? Who was listening there? Their enemies. And among the enemies of the Jews to Jesus, wanting him to be crucified, they came to Pilate, and they said to Pilate, as you read there in the account of Matthew, set now a watch at the tomb where he is placed. Lest, now look what they said about him. They said, lest the latter mistake be worse than the first. The latter mistake be worse than the first. The first of Jesus' life, what did he do? Well, he gets our attention by creating water from wine, wine from water, in the time of the wedding feast there in John 4. What do we see there in John 2 about this particular matter and his mother requesting of him this, and they saying, this is better than the first. And it wasn't a very common habit for them to get their drunkenness underway and then to serve better wine. It was the other way around. And so it was the case that they recognized this was their still their taste, and they recognized the sweetness of this was so much better than it was before. And now then, who can do this? Powerful things that he could do. And then you see the banner of Jesus' life and how that he healed the sick, how that he restored sight to the blind, how he helped the individuals to walk that could not walk, how he even called back Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11 by name. It was a mistake, they said. And lest the latter mistake be worse than the first, set a guard at his tomb, lest the disciples come and steal his body away and fake the idea that he has risen from the dead. Jesus wanted people to live by faith and not by sight. So in the process of that, he fulfilled the Lord's will. He went into that tomb. His physical body there in that tomb was not going to stay, however. And his is the religious leader of all the world, whose tomb today is still empty. It's still without the body in it. It's still empty. How grateful and thankful we are he told the truth and told us that if we walk by faith and not by sight, we'll also be blessed of the Lord in a day-to-day way in our daily walk of life. We'll find a way in which we enjoy the presence of God in the great ways of the Lord as we live faithfully to his will. When we are people who go about telling the truth and telling what's right rather than telling what's false and wrong, when we are people who go about being pure in heart and mannerisms as we treat people instead of mistreating people and being worldly in spirit and life, and thus we find that being a hallmark characteristic of our daily walk of life, when we find those ways being different, the world at large looks at us and says, this person can be trusted with my child. This person can be trusted with my automobile. This person can be trusted to carry out the promises made, because those promises are going to be carried out by this person of truth. This person of righteousness is going to do the kind of things that help out instead of harm. We generally don't think of that same way towards somebody who's told us that I'll be right over and help you, and they never come. Do we? Do we have a trust on them that when we have the request that, can I borrow your automobile, can I borrow your truck, that they'll bring it back? Do we? No, we don't. Jesus taught us a way of life by which we live that is influential for good and for godliness' sake in the lives of our family, our friends, and our neighbors, and the people with whom we meet from day to day in work and labor. We can be trustworthy and helpful people as we do that sort of work and as we plan that sort of work and that sort of day. Think about the relationship that we have with God in this. The relationship that we have with God is that we become children of God. You may be recognizing a childhood in a family. And during this time of year with graduation coming up, there are a lot of things about Aunt so-and-so sent this to you, and Susie sent this to you, and Uncle so-and-so sent this your way, and they sent it in your name. And I know that it's oftentimes that young people have shown me various things that they've received from one of their relatives because graduation has come and that event is taking place. And they're so tickled to have that particular gift, be it money or be it something else that they particularly wanted for a time. And they have that now. And they are so thankful for the loved one who helped them in that way. And they remember that person. And they remember sending a card later on about going to your school at a certain place. And they remember a card for Christmas time and things like that. And they remember a good Thanksgiving dinner that they enjoyed at that particular house and the smiles that they had with that individual. Because they cared about each other and they worked together. What about the same thing being true of someone who is so deceptive? Such a falsehood teller that you just can never trust what's said, where they're going, what they're doing. You never can trust their words to be accurate regarding what they've succeeded at doing. All the things of life are things of the world and worldly ways, but the things of God and God's children are things that are righteous and good and godly, and telling the truth is a part of that. And it's a way of life that God wanted us to live. Now let's apply it to our relationships in life that we have, and that is that we're dating somebody. We're meeting someone. What about that young lady that I tell the falsehoods to, that discovers that this is not accurate, what this person is representing is not factual, this is not true and good and helpful at all? Does that person wish to have a continued relationship with that young man? What about a young lady who says, I've got a way of life, and I've got a way that you, I know that you desire of me and everything, and we'll have pleasantries together, and we'll enjoy each other, and so forth and so on, and that'll be the way of life for you. Will someone who's spiritually minded, desiring to go to heaven, desiring to serve God throughout life, and to rear children that will serve God as well and do righteous things, is that person likely to have an abiding, good relationship with that young lady? Think about it. And think about all the things that are happening in the world in which we live, in the home life of couples these days. Think about a way of life that is being done that is not a way to maintain a marriage. A lot of hours away and apart, no contact and communication at all. A lot of plans being made with others, but none at home. Think about children that grow up and grow along their way and are making certain difficulties and certain problems in life that they need dad's guidance around and dad's suggestions around and mom's suggestions, but they're not there. They don't have that conversation with them. But they're going to have that conversation because it's on their mind and they're thinking. And little buddies are going to say, what's on your mind? What you're thinking about? You're thinking about something. I know that maybe I can help you with it. And what their help may be with it may be way down the road and trouble and problematic and jail-oriented. Think about the way that we behave in the relationships that we have. If we had a relationship with God, and doing righteous His ways of life and talking His ways of life and then practicing that same relationship with others in life and with our families as well, what good would come from it versus what bad and terrible things would come from those relationships that are telling lies and falsehoods and deceptions, filled with alcoholism and abuse, filled with harm, filled with terrible things that are taking place. And the family is hardly a family at all. Oh yes, I've got a dad, all right. Yes, I got a mom, all right. But I don't have any love that I see. I don't have any guidance that I can understand. I don't have any way of life that I can depend upon. Because when I look into it, what they've said to me about what to do and how to be is a falsehood. It's not true. What do I do? We're talking about a relationship that we have with God, a relationship that He has with us, and a relationship thereby that we have with others round about us in life. If I follow that relationship He wants to have with me, of truth and righteousness and goodness, if I find that relationship to be with others in my family with whom I abide, if I find those things to be characteristic of the relationship I have with the community in which I live, what good can be done? Eventually someone can be talked with about the gospel, the word of God. Somebody can see something that they did not see otherwise. And what a blessing it can and could be. Well, the last few weeks of time I've been asking you to take a look in the Bible. Would you go with me today to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, please, in the book of Ephesians, and look at what it says in verse 18. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 18. He says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints, this is our relationship with others now, may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. You've heard it said sometime regarding those who pass away that they desired an hour in which they could make things right with the Lord. This is the passage of Scripture that tells us to make a lifetime. The height and the depth, the length and the width of the love of Christ. Abiding in our hearts and lives. It should bring tears to our eyes to think of the love that He has for us and the relationship that He has for us to be sustained. It should bring a lump to our throats as we try to express it and tell it, because it's an abiding, wonderful thing. It's a fullness of Christ in us. That's the relationship God wanted us to have as we walk by faith and not by sight. So the next time that we see something on the television movie that's being shown and it's there and the words are being used and we say, those words shouldn't be said. I really get to the point where in my life I don't want to hear them, much less reply to them, restate them again. I want to be a person who can see that that is not the way that people should live. That's not the way that people should serve. That's not the way people should do with themselves and their families, with their couples and their marriages, with their friends on the right-hand side, left-hand side that are called neighbors, and with anyone that I want to reach with the gospel in time to show this love that's in Christ Jesus. How do we come into Christ Jesus? Well, today we take a look at how Paul said he came into Christ. When he wrote the brethren at Rome in Romans chapter 6, and he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Know that ye not that so many of us as were buried with Christ in the waters of baptism were raised to walk in newness of life. He goes on to say, if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be serving or enslaved to sin. You can have a new relationship, and you can have it any time that you say, I want to come to the Lord, I want to obey Him. And we're willing to be of help to you. If you need to be baptized into Christ, that time can be even now. It can be at whenever your decision is made. Don't put that decision off, please. And if you've done that in days gone by, remember that on a daily basis we can be forgiven of our wrongs in doing. As we grow in the Lord, we want to be more honest and more dependable and more righteously serving the Lord. We want to have His love abiding deeply within our souls and lives. And so it is that we pray to the Lord day to day about our relationship with Him and thank Him for His forgiveness of sin. And He has said there in 1 John 1, very vividly, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It sounds like to me that it's time for us to sing a song of encouragement. And read those words and hear those words within your heart that call us to come to Jesus with our daily walk of life and have that relationship with Him by faith, not by sight. Would you come as we stand and as we sing together?
By and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left, are you ready for the day to come? Are you ready
for the judgment day? A sad day coming. there's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know ye not.
Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
Evening. I don't know about our men's meeting tonight. I think we can plan to do it, but I don't know about the circumstances of it tonight. But nevertheless, at 6 o'clock, we'll gather together for continued study of our relationship to God, plus the idea of what God desires of our life. Thank you for being here today.
Right.